everyone, Justin here. I just wanted to provide a quick update on the podcast and give you all kind of a little sneak peek about me. Next week, we will record our first official episode with Eric Brown, a coworker and friend of mine. I expect that'll be a very good episode. I think it'll be a great first episode, too, and I hope you all enjoy it and will listen. But I really wanted to talk about, this may sound kind of, I don't know, conceited, but I kind of wanted to talk about me today. You know, I mentioned we all have a story to tell, and that does include myself. Now, I'm going to share with you a very brief biography, autobiography of myself. It is by no means comprehensive. There are definitely things that I wrote down in my notes and then scratched off, things I'm just not comfortable sharing at the moment, things that maybe I want to hang on to for later. But, you know, I think it is important for you to, as I'm talking to these guests, to kind of know who I am and maybe where some of these questions are coming from. And you know, I've never really done an interview podcast before, or a conversation podcast. Like, we've talked on the other shows, but it's sometimes it gets deep, but I kind of wanted to take it to a whole new level with this show. So I'll just start off by saying, you know, I grew up in a small town in Kentucky. Most of you listening probably, I would assume, know me already in real life, and you probably know that. My parents, they were together for pretty much, actually, all of my childhood. I have a sister. She is a teacher. She's younger than me, and our parents, they split up after high school. And I'm going to be honest, I can't remember if they split up after I graduated or after she graduated. I know my mom, she went through a lot to keep the family kind of together while we were in school. And I'm pretty sure it was after my sister graduated high school. Growing up, I had an interest in sports. I really enjoyed basketball and soccer. My dad pushed football on me. I'm not someone who likes to hit people, so football really was not my thing. They had me do karate for a little bit, and I hated that. I really, really, really loved basketball, and I really loved soccer, and I really wished I had played baseball. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people who thought baseball was boring until my 20s. I remember I was on a cruise ship, and it was during the Reds 2010 National Central run, and one of the games that came on was the Cincinnati Reds playing, and I remember it was rainy, and like some of the events had been canceled on the cruise ship, and I just sat there and watched the game and learned the game while I was watching it and fell in love with it. I came home and immediately bought tickets to the next Reds game. Been a big fan ever since. But I wish I would have played baseball because I feel like, I mean, I don't know if I would have been good at it, but I just feel like I really would have enjoyed it. I didn't play sports after elementary school. I don't know why. I always had a desire to keep playing basketball and soccer, but I just didn't. I wish I could put myself in the mindset of like 12 and 13 year old me to try to figure out why I opted not to keep playing sports. I was relatively short, and I was somewhat athletic, I guess, but nowhere near the level of athleticism that my fellow classmates who played sports were. So that probably played a pretty big role in it. I did play a lot of video games. Oh boy, did I play video games. And spoiler alert, I still do. I love video games, and I don't care. They're not for kids. They're for everybody, so don't give me grief over that. I loved writing, too. I always wanted to write. I loved writing short stories. I always wanted to write a book, and to be honest with you, I still kind of do, although I don't know what I would write it about. I did come up with an idea one time for a trilogy series, but I don't even know if I have those notes anymore. I'd have to go dig through old hard drives. I do like to write screenplays. A few friends of mine, Greg, Connor, and Cortland, we've been making some short films. We made one, we entered it. We have a few others that we have, like one or two others that have been written, and then we have several ideas. So making movies and writing them is something I really, really enjoy doing. I do love to write. I wish I kept a journal. Maybe this podcast will kind of serve as that in a way, indirectly, but who knows. I did learn how to play the guitar. I love music. As an adult, I've tried to pick up the banjo and the mandolin, and I tried the piano a little bit. All of it's self-taught except for the guitar. My great guitar teacher, Chris Kitchen, he taught me an ability that I still know to this day. And anytime I'm just stressed out or I don't know, I can just grab the guitar and play, and it's a great feeling to be able to do something like that. I did play in a few bands in high school. Nothing serious. We did the talent show one year. It was fun, but I've never like played in a band seriously. Being a musician, like I play guitar, but I would not call myself a musician. And it's not something I really ever wanted to be. Like growing up, I was like, oh yeah, I want to be a rock star or whatever. But I don't. I get stage fright. I just like to play really for myself. I don't even really like to play for my family. So I just like to keep that talent to myself. I know I'm kind of going all over the place here, and I do apologize for that. I'm also maybe speaking kind of fast. That is just something that I do, and I do apologize. I will try to do better as the show goes on. As a student, so this is kind of interesting. I feel like maybe it's not. I think it is. I was a really bad student in middle school and high school. And like, I wasn't an F student, but I was like a C and D student for some subjects. I didn't care about math or science. I was really, cared about the arts, and I cared about history and writing. And I really excelled in those subjects. And then, you know, math and science, I did not. Anything that I felt like they were making me do that I didn't want to do, I didn't really put enough effort into. And I do find that's kind of ironic with how my life is kind of played out, which, of course, I'll get into that. But I graduated high school. During high school, I dated on and off, had a few girlfriends. Some I would call serious. For some weird reason, I had it in my head that I had to marry young. And so, like, I took every relationship way too seriously. And I was dumb 17-18-year-old. I'll probably never know why I did that, but I did. But I'll actually have more on that a little bit later in this episode. But anyway, I graduated high school. I went to college, and I pursued a degree that is a really, really cool degree. But once I got into it, I just realized it wasn't something I wanted to do. So at the end of my first semester, I withdrew. And I joined the workforce, where I started working at a local hospital. I stayed there for almost 8 years, and I didn't know this, but I started working there in food service during a union dispute. So I was actually hired in the event that there would be a strike. So I didn't know that. I quit a really well-paying retail job to take this job. So it was a big risk, and it wasn't one that I realized I took until it was too late. Fortunately, I was able to keep that job. And I stayed there for almost 8 years. In food service, you know, I met a lot of great people, a lot of hardworking people who do not get enough credit for what they do. But I think, honestly, that's probably every field. But after that, I became a unit clerk. And it was as a unit clerk, especially on midnight shift, that really exposed me to a lot of things, because I worked midnights for about a year, and the midnight crew at a hospital, you'll never find a better bunch of people probably. I mean, they are great. But also, that's also when all the crazy stuff happens. It feels like, you're working with a smaller staff, it feels like. So when things go bad, everyone really feels it. And like, while I was not a clinical staff member, I never have been, and I never will be, I was there for many, awful, awful things that happen. And I know some people that are like nurses and doctors, they see this stuff every day, and it's probably, I mean, I know it affects them because it's, you know, the loss of a life or a traumatic event, but I gotta be honest with you, I still like hear the code blue alarm sometimes. I'll be sitting there and I'll hear it and I'll stand up to silence it, but I'll be like in my office at work, or, you know, I'll be in the kitchen or something. It doesn't, you know, it happens. I hear that noise and like it almost haunts me. But yeah, like it's weird to watch someone get CPR. It's weird to watch someone die. It's a very weird feeling. And when it's happening, you know, a few times a week, it takes a toll on you. It really kind of, I don't really know how to describe it other than just it takes a toll on you. After the unit clerk position, my boss offered me a position as her administrative assistant for the float pool. The float pool is so there's different units in a hospital, and then there's a group of nurses and externs and CMTs and unit clerks who float. They go where they are needed each day, so they don't have like a home unit. But she offered me the role of like her kind of like administrative assistant, and that was such a great job. I love doing that. Honestly, I made okay money doing it. I knew it wasn't going to be a career, but I probably would have stuck with it for a few more years. But unfortunately, this hospital went through 3 layoffs during my time there, and I was able to go through the first 2 without any issues. But it was during the 3rd one that our unit got hit pretty hard, and I was left without a position. I wasn't laid off, but I didn't have a job to go to anymore. And they told me to call HR to find a new position. So I called HR, and they were so nice, so kind. I can't say enough nice things about them. And they basically said, okay, let's see what we have open that's full time. And I got to thinking, and I was like, I've probably achieved the highest level I can get here without a degree, especially since it's medical. A lot of nursing or medical degrees are needed, and I didn't have that, nor did I really want that. So I requested a part-time position so I could go back to school. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to become a teacher, which, like I said, is ironic because I wasn't a great student. So they reassigned me to the switchboard on the part-time basis. I went back and I re-enrolled in school. And that's when things kind of started. So I need to back up a little bit. I did leave some things out. It was during my time in food service that I met my first wife. That's right. I say first. Maybe there's a number 2. Maybe all of you that know me already know this. I met my first wife. We were married for 2 years. I was either 21 or 22, and she was great. It was just the fact that I got married too young, we just wanted different things. It was probably doomed from the start, but we just didn't see it. So, it ended, and we both have gone our separate ways, and that is fine. But after that, like I said, I went back to school, and it was there that I met my new wife. So I met her. This is going to kind of messy a little bit because I'm trying to get all my thoughts together because a lot happens during this time. So go back to school. I want to be a teacher. I start doing coursework there. I meet who would become my new wife, and we start dating, and she is able to get me a job as a student worker on campus. So now I have 2 jobs. I'm working at the hospital, and I'm working as a student worker on this campus. So I will say this, if you're a college student and you have an opportunity to work on campus, do it. Absolutely do it. It gives you a sense of involvement that you're part of the campus. It's hard to explain, but I felt like before I was a student worker, I was just there to take classes and go home and, do my homework, go home, whatever, right? But when I started working there, I really felt like I was part of the campus. And I didn't just feel that way. I was. You participate in events and you participate in recruiting and you participate in orientations and you get to help and meet new students. And it's a very rewarding experience. And I highly recommend it. Also, if it's a source of income, you'll kind of feel that fire if your grades start to slip. So, because you want to keep your job. So definitely if you're a student at a college and they offer student work opportunities, I cannot stress that enough. Do it. So my wife now, who I met in college, we find out we're going to have a baby. So that's stressful, but also exciting. I realize that I can probably no longer do the teacher education program because it would require student teaching, which would require me to give up one of my 2 jobs. And it being 2014, 2015 at the time, that's just not possible. I mean, we're strapped financially as it is. She's going through school. I'm going through school. We don't have a lot of money, and here we are about to bring a kid into the world. So I switch majors. I become a history major. As I mentioned, I love history. I love social studies. It just felt like the right thing to do. And I knew that there were alternate paths to becoming a teacher if you just have a bachelor's degree in the field. So that is what I opted to do. So I switched my major and I went down that route. We did have our son, in 2014, I'm getting my years all mixed up. It's hard to keep all this stuff you know, together when you're kind of rambling. We had our son in 2014, and I continued to work at the university while I was a student. I did quit, which is crazy because I said I couldn't afford to do it. I quit the hospital job because I found that I was missing all these really important moments with our son. And it was like heartbreaking to find out that he laughed for the first time or he did this or that for the first time. And here I was sitting in a room answering phone calls for 12 hours a day. So I quit that job. We made adjustments. I think at that point, she also entered the workforce again. I think that's what made it possible. So we did that. And my graduation date was nearing, which is a great thing, right? So here I am about to graduate with a history degree, which also comes with me losing my position as a student worker. And I become really anxious and kind of upset because I realize I have fallen in love with higher education and I am desperate to find a way to stay. So a job opens up at the university and I apply for it and I get it and I meet a whole other group of people that I wasn't really familiar with before, because before I worked in student support services and now I was working with faculty. And it was just amazing. It was a great experience. I was able to keep me there and it was awesome. At the same time, I began working on a master's degree in higher education. So that was going on. And at the end of the first year in this position with faculty, working for the faculty, another position opened up that would allow me to return to the department I was in and kind of coordinate a few areas of student support services. So I went that route. And then shortly after that, my wife, who is now my wife, we got married. We both finished our master's degrees, and she is now a teacher. She was a librarian. She's a teacher now. I'm still working the same job. And you know, in the meantime, you know, I've started a few podcasts. You know, I had Nerds with Mics, still have Nerds with Mics. We had Who Cares What We Think, that one. We kind of abandoned that one. It went back to Nerds with Mics. Cortland and I, we have a show called Let Me Talk. We just kind of talk about whatever we want to talk about. But at this rate, we usually do one episode every 9 months. and then I've had this desire, this passion to create something new, one where I just connected with people. I do enjoy talking about video games with my friends or the score of the Vikings game last week with Cortland, but I also really wanted to just kind of connect with people, people I knew, people I don't know. So, I got this idea, we were driving, my friend Greg and I were driving and we were just kind of talking and it kind of became me asking him questions, kind of like almost prying about his life. And he just answered it, but it flowed into such a nice conversation that I thought, you know, this would make a pretty decent podcast. I kind of wish we were recording this. And then I decided to make this podcast. So like I said, everything I shared with you today is kind of like a biography of me. So you kind of know where I'm coming from. I will go into more. I left out some stuff, you know, and we'll talk about that. I may do these little buffer episodes in between guests. Maybe if I can't get a guest 1 week, I'll share something about me with you. But yeah, you know, I'm not obviously comfortable sharing everything right away, and I don't expect my guests to be comfortable sharing everything right away either. That's why I kind of hope some of these guests that I get on will come back for repeat visits. I think that would be great. But yeah, so I'm going to wrap up this first mini episode. We'll call it episode 0.5 or something. Be on the lookout. Eric Brown next week, Shannon Frizee the week after that, Chris Bailey the week after that. Should be fun. If you're interested in being a guest, whether I know you or not, email me. It's show@storytotellpod.com. Speaking of which, storytotellpod.com is our website. I highly recommend you check it out. I just put it together. It's pretty basic, simplified. That's all we really need. There you'll find links to our social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, and what's the one with the bird? I forgot it. Oh my gosh, Twitter. And then it also has links to where you can listen now and detailed instructions on how to subscribe. If we are not on your favorite podcasting platform, please email me and I will do whatever I can to get us on there. I want to make sure you are able to hear us on whichever app or website you like to use. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, tweet, review, all of that. Hopefully you like us and give us a 5-star rating. 5-star ratings will kind of boost our exposure. And one funny thing, I keep saying our and we, but I'm flying solo here. I'm used to doing a podcast with a group of friends, and so I'm going to use probably we and us a lot when I'm really just referring to me. So I do apologize for that. So I do hope you enjoy the show. If you have any questions, please reach out to me and I'd be happy to answer them. So I guess this is goodbye for this mini episode, episode 0.5, and that is My Story Part 1.